We want to welcome all of you to Blessed Hope Bible Church. So grateful to God this morning to see all of your faces. God is good. Amen. God is good. Thank you, Jesus. Our desire is to equip all of you to experience the abundant life that is already ours in Christ. And to learn more about our ministry, go to bhbcstl.org. I want to talk about victorious love. Emphasis on victorious. Because that's the kind of love that God has for his children. It is a love that encourages us, strengthens and guides us through our very darkest hour. It is that kind of love that you and I can depend on when friends and family turn their backs on you. No matter what you're going through, God's love for you is a victorious love. And you can't buy this love. Some folks say, oh, I can buy love. You can't buy victorious love because it cannot be purchased. Why? Because there's no price for it. It is free to everyone who trusts Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. So as we go through this series, this is what I want you to do. This is what I want you to do. I want you to think of the challenges that you and I are facing. I want you to also think about the fact that maybe your faith has come under attack. Maybe someone has said something to you or about you that has wounded or offended you. Think about them and pray for them. Amen? Amen. Don't let them define you. Let God's word define you. Amen. Maybe a friend has betrayed you and made false accusations about your character. Say, Pastor, what do I do with them? You love them. You pray for them. Amen. I didn't hear enough amens, but I'm going to say amen for my own self. And some of y'all say, y'all know what they said about me. I don't care. You know why? Because that's not what defines you. God's word defines you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, we're going to get you right in here. That's all right. We're going to get you right. Amen. Don't worry. Hold on for a few more minutes. We're going to get you right. You got to keep praying. Keep trusting. Keep believing. Amen? Amen. That's what you got to do. Keep praying. Keep trusting and keep believing. You're going to have the victory. I assure you of that. Just hang with me for a few more minutes. Our passage comes from Romans chapter 8, verse 31 through 39. And it is one of the most profound expressions of God's love for his people in all of the Bible. Romans chapter 8, verses 31 through 39. If you have no Bible, you can just simply follow us on the screen here as it is given to us. And this is what it says. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor things present, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature. Let me say that again. Nor any other creature or anybody else shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Hallelujah. I want you to look at verses 33 and 34 with me this morning that says, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Now, before I begin getting into the meat of this message today, I want to encourage those of you who have a past or you've had things said about you, or you're going through something, I need you to pay very special attention, because this message has special application for you. I want you to understand that God's word has an encouragement for you. How many of you have got skeletons in the closet, or at least had them at one time? Hallelujah. But praise God that he cleaned out the closet. Yes, he did. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Bible says that anybody who is in Christ, guess what? They're a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, everything has become new. We want you to consider the following points this morning. Number one, no charge. And number two, no condemnation. No charge and no condemnation. In verse 33, it says, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. We need to know, what is a charge? And who is the elect of God? What is a charge? And who is the elect of God? A charge is nothing more than an accusation. It is an indictment that someone makes against an individual. In some instances, it may lead to a trial if it has any merit to it, in which the accuser and the accused will present their sides of the story to the judge. And then it is left up to the judge to either rule guilty or not guilty. And what the Bible is saying here is this, that there are going to be those who might try to bring a charge against you, but who can bring a charge that will stand up in the court of heaven? Who can bring a charge or a slander or say something where God will say, you're right, they ain't no good? Who can say that to God about you? You say, Pastor, why won't it hold up in court? Because you are God's elect. You are the elect of God. To be the elect of God means that God has chosen you from the foundation of the world to receive salvation through his son, Jesus Christ, by faith. To be the elect of God means that you've been born again. You ain't been baptized at an early age. You didn't come and you weren't united with XYZ Baptist Church as a child. It means that you are saved and spirit-filled. You got the Holy Ghost and the Holy Ghost got you. That's what it means to be the elect of God. You have been chosen by the hand of God, by the knowledge of God, by the predetermined will of God. The reason why you're in this church is not by accident, it's by incident. God brought you here. He brought you in his family, and one day he's going to bring you to heaven. You are the elect of God, and nobody can bring a charge against you. Nobody can bring up your past and say, I knew you when, because God has dealt with that. The blood of Jesus has washed that all away. You can't go to God and tell God, I'm a no good so-and-so, because God has already justified me. Now, we need to get to that word, justified. What does it mean to be justified? To be justified means that God has forgiven us. It means that we have appeared before God and he dropped the charges against you. Now, I want to throw a little bit of theology in. It doesn't mean that you were innocent. It doesn't mean that you had charges that didn't stick. You had charges. Romans chapter 3 tells us, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So we had charges. And the devil, who is that accuser of the brethren, said, he can't go to heaven, God. Look how sinful he is. Look at how much he's been smoking and drinking. Look at those immoral deeds that they have done. Look at all those charges. God, you need to send them straight to hell. God looked at you and said, charges are dropped. God has dropped the charges. So the devil cannot blame you for nothing. Your neighbor can't accuse you of nothing. They can accuse you, but God don't care, Because God has already dropped the charges against you. You've been forgiven. Well, you just don't know so-and-so. You don't have to know so-and-so. All you have to know is God. And I don't judge you by your past. You won't judge me because neither of us got one. We don't have a past. We either got God or a past, but we can't have both. Can't have both. Not if 2 Corinthians 5:17 works. You either got a past and not God, or you got God and no past. And it's either or. It's not, well, it's a little bit of this and a little bit of that. Ain't no little bit of nothing. It's either or. You either in the kingdom or you not in the kingdom. I ain't ask you, was you a member of Blessed Hope Bible Church? Because that's not going to get you to heaven. In fact, that won't get nobody to heaven. I said, are you in the kingdom? Are you in the kingdom of God? He dropped the charges, and it had nothing to do with your innocence. He did not say you're guilty or innocent. He didn't say you were guilty or innocent. He said, I pardon you. Hallelujah. He said, I pardon you. Well, how did he drop the charges? Because the charges had already been settled. He didn't say, oh, you so cute. I could use you. I'm going to just let you go. Don't worry about sin. I'm holy, but I'll let you pass. No, God don't pass over sin. But somebody stood in your place so that when you were brought into the court of heaven, God looked at you, but he didn't see you. He saw the redemptive work of Jesus Christ, and he said, the charges have been dropped. Case dismissed. Case dismissed. That's why nobody can bring anything against you to mess with you, your integrity, your reputation. If you're trying to live for God, all I can ask you to do is keep on living for God. You've got all kinds of strange spirits and attitudes out there. There are going to be folk that don't know you and still don't like you. You got to keep serving the Lord. They resent you. They don't even know your last name, but yet they have found a reason to go against you. You keep living. You just keep living for God. Oh boy, can't nobody tear God's building down. You are his workmanship. How can something be destroyed that is a work of God? If Ephesians chapter 2 says in verse 10 and 11 that we are his workmanship created to do good works, how can somebody tear down the work of God? If you're saved, you're the work of God. So tell me who can tear down the work of God. Can't tear down what God has made. You can attack it. You can throw rocks at it. But you can't destroy it. That work will stand for eternity. Because it's the work of God and he's eternal. No charge. Why? Because you belong to God. You're his elect. And God has justified you. So you don't have to feel bad when things go wrong, when friends turn their back on you, when folks who are your relatives and others try to get in your mix. You keep serving. Keep serving the Lord. And don't allow yourself to be distracted by what so-and-so might say. You just simply look at what the Word of God says. No charge. Now, I don't deserve to be put in that position, but I'm going to accept it. I'm going to receive it. If God said no charges and he dropped the charges, guess what? I'm going to keep on moving. In the name of Jesus. Why? Because I believe the word of God. I believe that Jesus' blood has the power to wash away sin. I believe that Jesus' blood has the power to give me victory over every situation of my life. I believe that no matter what I am, did, done, used to be, had to be, whatever, the blood of Jesus has the power to break the yoke of sin's grip in my life. That's why I can stand up and preach. Not because I think I can preach. But because the blood has brought me into a position where I can stand for God. Not because I have a talent or a gift. Has nothing to do with that. The blood has given me this privilege to declare the ever-living, everlasting word of God. It's not about me. Not about Blessed Hope. It's not about growing a big church. It's not about having a mega ministry and having somebody's face on TV. It's about the blood. It's always been about the blood. That's what dropped the charges. Blessed be the name of the Lord. There's also no condemnation. Look at verse 34. Hallelujah for verse 34. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died. Yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. I love this verse. Condemnation is the punishment for those who are found guilty. Now here's the rub. We're all guilty, but yet we're not condemned. Why? Because Jesus paid the condemnation price. You say, wait a minute, how does a guilty person get released from their condemnation? Somebody steps in as a surrogate and pays the price in their place. That person is Jesus Christ. In other words, what Paul is saying here, who is he that can condemn you as a sinner and tell you that you don't belong to God? Not even Christ can. For after all, it was Christ who died for you. It was Christ who rose for you. Watch this. It was Christ who is now praying for you. Why would Christ even condemn you? Now you say, Pastor, you sure that verse says that? I know it says it. In other words, what Paul wants us to get is this. If Christ can't condemn you because of his own blood, his own blood stops him from condemning you. God can't condemn you. Then who? If God can't condemn you, if Christ, whose blood was shed for you, can't condemn you, who can condemn you? And this is what I love about this passage. It wasn't enough for Jesus to die for me. But he rose, proving to the world that his death was the satisfaction of God's holiness and his vindication of man's sin. That's why he rose from the dead. You can't keep an innocent man dead. Reason why Christ rose from the dead, there was no sin. Sin brings death. Christ was sinless. That's why he rose. How do you know? You weren't there. He's living in me. That's how I know. Amen. You're right, I wasn't there. And I may never set my feet on the Mount of Olives or in Jerusalem. I don't really care. As long as God sets his foot in my life, that's all I care about. And it's by faith, isn't it? It's by faith. It's by faith. Now listen to this. It's not enough that he rose from the dead. He praying for me. He's praying for me. And he's praying for you. He is your prayer partner. When you can't pray, he's praying for you. When you don't feel like praying, he's praying for you. When you don't know what to pray, guess what? God is praying for you through Jesus Christ, his son. Now this idea of intercession means to speak on your behalf. He is, if you will, pleading your case before God. Because just because we're saved, we don't always live the way we should. But guess who's making the case for us every single day? Jesus Christ is pleading your case. The reason why you haven't been consumed by the anger and wrath of God is because Jesus, as our mediator, is working on us. And he's working on our behalf. He is standing between God's holiness and man's sinfulness and saying, God, I've shed my blood. I'm not asking you to let him go, Father, but look at my blood. I'm not asking you to pass over his sin and let him and give him another chance. God, don't do that. God looks at the blood, and that's where the chance comes in. He just says, I'm going to let you slide this time. God don't let nothing slide. That's why you got to be careful how you treat folks. God don't let nothing slide. You think he does. That's because you haven't lived long enough to reap what you sow. But I'm telling you today, God lets nothing slide. That's why you don't return anger for anger. That's why you don't return confusion with confusion. That's why a kind word turneth away wrath. And when someone rebukes you, you show patience and restraint. Why? Because God's going to deal with all his kids. He's not going to let folk just run around and be whatever they want. God, because he is our Father, Hebrews chapter 12, and he loves us, he will chasten us. Why? Because he loves us. He loves us, blessed hope. He cares about us. There's no charges. There's no condemnation. Why? Because the love of God has broke the yoke of sin. The love of God, that victorious love, has broke the yoke of your past. You cannot be defined by guilt of something that you did yesterday. You might have chewed somebody out on your way to church. You can be forgiven right now. Because that's in your past. You cannot say to me, well, if I hadn't done this years ago, when God has forgiven you. You say, well, Pastor, I'm not going to be able to achieve this. I really wish I could have done that. Let me tell you about that big lie you just told. You can do whatever God has put you on this planet to do. No, you don't understand. See, Pastor, I didn't go to college 20 years ago and I can't. And you think God can't bless you? You think God can't use you? That's the biggest lie that you can tell yourself. Let me tell you something about past. God loves broken past. God loves broken people. Why? Because those are the ones he can get the glory out of. He can't get the glory out of them perfect folk who don't need God. They don't even go to church. Unless their granddaughter is in the Easter play. Then they'll come on in the Blessed Hope. You know, they'll bring their video camera. And they'll see their daughter or their grandson or somebody. They don't go to nobody church because they're so perfect. They don't need to hear this gospel. Because they already got it going on. They're prosperous. They're doing well. Don't need no Jesus for what? Jesus is for weak people. Hey, I'll be weak. That would be me. But let me show you. That would be me times two. Man, you need a crutch. I don't need a crutch. I need a wheelchair. Oh, you just have to man up. Listen, I've tried to man up. I need Jesus in my life. I try to be big and strong and all of that. And I might not look like much now, young people, but I used to dunk a basketball. I used to run and do all those things. I had know what it's like to have a little six pack going on. I did all that stuff. Been there, done that. Know what it's like to dunk on somebody and be dunked on. Played sports. Was an athlete. Did all those things. Didn't have no Nintendo and stuff. We ran. Played football. Fought each other. Boxed. Wasn't no knives and no guns either. That was all a part of how we lived our lives. So you couldn't be in there going do-do-do-do-do to some music and all of that. We didn't have none of that. And so all you had to do was just go outside, and you know somebody else is outside because ain't nobody got nothing. So you run outside. Who got a football? Oh, okay. All right, I'll choose you, and then somebody who never got picked. Who wants so-and-so? And the competitiveness. See, we've manned up all of that stuff. We did all that. And when you got in an argument, we'd always ask the question, and some of my brothers know, can you box? But we weren't looking to kill nobody. We weren't even looking to really bruise nobody. But if it was an issue over whether or not we go do this or that, it was, can you box? And we had rules. We didn't hit the face. It was all chest and arms. And the whole goal was, let's see who gets, but you hit my face, then it's a fight. You hit me in my face. Even if you graze it, then okay. And then we're taking off a shirt, and then it's. And having seen enough of these, and the other guy would generally be a gentleman and say, "Man, my bad, I didn't mean it." And we come back to boxing. He said, "Man, my fault." He would apologize. And we go back to boxing. And it was all about defining ourselves and looking at ourselves differently. That's how we did it. But now we realize that you can't just box your way through life. Life is too big for a boxing match. It doesn't yield to your fist and lifting weights and dunking a basketball. Life is too big for that. At some point, you got to turn your life to Jesus and quit running from God. You say, "Pastor, I don't know where to go." You need to go where everybody needs to go, to the cross. Because it's only there where you and I can find no charges and no condemnation. It's all at the cross. It's not about you anymore. It's never been about you. It's always been about the cross and its reality in your life. Now, here's the deal. You may be saying to yourself, "Pastor, I don't see how God can forgive me." I've got some good news for you. And some of my saints aren't going to even get it. He has to forgive you. Y'all didn't catch that. See, there's a wonderful thing about knowing the Bible, just a little bit. I know about a fingernail's worth. There's something beautiful about knowing about what Jesus did at Calvary. That is the legal implications. Because of what Jesus did, if you appropriate or if you embrace his work as making atonement for you, God has to forgive you. If you go to God after you shot up, he got to forgive you. If you go to God after you committed a big time crime, he can't say, "Nope, you too, no, you're not my type." He has to forgive you. That's why Jesus says, "If any man come unto me, I will in no wise cast out." There is nobody in this room who has done so much dirt that God cannot and will not forgive him. Because Jesus done paid the charges. Yeah, but he did that 2,000 years ago. But that day in which he died has eternal significance. His death was a timeless death. That means that your grandchildren who ain't even been born yet can get saved. That's how incredibly relevant the death and burial and resurrection of Christ is. There are no charges to bring against you. That's why you got to be careful when you talk about a child of God, when you talk about a preacher, when you talk about a pastor, even if they're doing dirt, don't go into a gossip column about that individual because they're still under the anointing. A brother stopped me just 2 days ago and said, "Brother, brother, brother." I said, "Uh-oh." "I heard that church, man, they done put the locks on it and it's all closed and shut down." I said, "I don't know nothing about it." "Ain't that church near you?" I said, "I don't look over there. I don't know. I don't know." And I'm telling the truth. I don't know. And I don't know why you need to know. See, a child of God is a child of God. And they might not do ministry and denomination and doctrine the way you do. They might speak in tongues and you try to look down on them. You better watch yourself. Ain't nothing wrong with tongues. Tongues not a, what is this? Nothing wrong with it. Your pastor came out of Pentecost. And I do not regret it. I have no shame about it. Pentecost is my mother. From a theological standpoint, I will always love my mother. Y'all don't like that. That's all right. You might as well know what you're getting. You might as well know what you're getting. Tongues, Holy Ghost filled, Terry, I did it. Laid hands on other folk as well. Mm-hmm. And you all know my story. How the word of God and how I struggled with all the things. And God said, stay home and read the word and I'll break every yoke of sin in your life. And he did it. And he says, I want you to move to this level now. I used you here. Now I want to step you up here. But don't you ever talk about the Pentecostals. Those are your brothers and sisters. And your pastor got a little of that blood in his vein. So you know he ain't go talk about my mama like that. I'm be talking about my mama. I ain't talking about your mama. I'm talking about my mama. That's my mother. James A. Johnson. I know. Okay, anyway. Bishop Johnson. Love him. Love him. Assemblies of God. Church of God in Christ, Martin's Temple. Been there, done that. Love them. Love them. Now my Blessed Hope Bible Church. Love it. But I love it all. All of us are God's children. Let's treat each other like God's children. Let's respect the Holy Spirit and the Spirit of God who dwells in each of us. And then let's see what we can do to build each other up rather than tear each other down. My goal, Blessed Hope Bible Church, is not to win an argument. It's not to win a debate. It's not to be right so you can be wrong and so I can show you how messed up your Bible knowledge is. That's not my agenda, honey. We got too much Satan and sin and issues for us to be arguing. I won't argue with you. I ain't got time for that. Let somebody on radio does that, trying to sell their books. Let them sell their books to you. I'm here to try to help you. Amen. To know the Jesus that I've come to know. And to realize that there is no charge. No condemnation. How many of you would like to have the charges dropped? Raise your hand like this if you want them to drop the charges. He's ready to drop the charges. And all you have to do is just trust him. Don't worry about pleading your case. Your case has already been spoken for. But we do need you to appear in court. Because there's been a warrant issued for your arrest by the gospel. The gospel, as James MacArthur said, John MacArthur, forgive me. The gospel is God's warrant for the arrest of humanity to appear in court so that the charges can be dropped. You have an arrest warrant. And it's for you to appear in the court of heaven so that the judge of humanity can look at you and say, how do you plead? You say guilty. Tell the truth when you're in court now. Guilty is charged. And then let your lawyer step in. Do you have any defense? And in come Jesus. I stand for the witness. I have paid the price of this sin. God looks at that blood and looks at you and says, charges are dropped. Case dismissed. You free to go. Who want the charges dropped? Bow your heads.